B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in. It's Felger and Maserati on Thursday, September 12th, here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Broadcast, as always, on 98.5 on your FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime, anywhere on the app, the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Just download that to your phone. The stream comes right up. Get all your podcasts, all your replays as well. So if you miss anything, any minute of Felger and Maz, you can catch that the next night, the next morning, whenever you want. So that's the deal there. We are fully loaded program here. I want to get right back into the Antonio Brown discussion. Are you ready, Anthony and Murray?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
This is what I want to hit on. To begin, there's different angles I want to get to throughout the course of the day, but this is where I want to start. The whole thing about did they know or not is I find interesting. Like, I want to dig in deeper to it and sort of investigate it and surmise and come up with scenarios. Like, I don't know why I'm interested. Well, I guess that's the question. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? I want help from you and the audience. So does it matter to you if they knew or not? And if so, why? Why does it matter if they knew or not?
It doesn't to me. They brought the guy in regardless. So for me, it was all a matter of time before there was going to be a problem like this allegation that's been levied against him, Antonio Brown, obviously. So I just didn't expect it to be that quick. So they knew something like this was going to end up happening anyway, I would think, unless they had their heads stuck in the ground. So it doesn't matter to me that much.
So does it matter to you that they're covering it up now, or why are they covering it up? If they knew, why won't they just say it? Because they were, let's just say this, off the record, they were more than willing to tell the big information guys that we were blindsided.
Correct.
Adam Schefter's first report, Patriots blindsided.
Ian Rappaport.
Team had no idea. So they're clearly willing to say it off the record to the information guys, because that's where Rappaport and Schefter go. They're not talking to the janitor. They're talking to high-level team sources, whether that's Bill, ownership, or both. So off the record, they're saying we didn't know. Why won't they say it in front of a camera?
Well, good question. I mean, it probably has something to do with, Belichick swears everything to secrecy anyway. So my guess has something to do with the relationship between Belichick and Rosenhaus. But, you know, look, there are lots of, to get back to your original question, did they know and why does it matter? Well, if they knew and they thought that it had the potential to be real, it tells you what lengths they will go to get good talent. I mean, I think,
that they have no shame.
Yeah, right. I mean, we learn where their level of tolerance is. And also, I think we learned something about maybe the relationship between Bill and Rosenhaus. Like, there is a little information that will come out of it. And so, did they know? Like, here's what I'm starting to believe. That they knew there was something, and that Rosenhaus convinced them that it was frivolous. And I say frivolous, that it was a money grab. And that Bill probably knew, but the Krafts didn't. And again, I'm just telling you what I believe, and that in all likelihood, and that none of them knew it was going to hit 24 hours after they signed the guy. So when they say they were blindsided to a degree, I think that that is true. Again, I think it probably entirely true for the highest levels of the organization. I think Bill said to Rosenhaus what's going on with this guy, or Rosenhaus volunteered it and said, hey, Bill, look, just so you're aware, there is something going out there going on with this guy regarding an old girlfriend. And, you know, she's been trying to get some money out of him. At some point, it could become a legal matter. Okay. But it's not criminal. It's civil. And I'm giving you my word that we believe that he's, you know, not guilty,
right,
of any sort of physical harm to another human being. And Bill said, okay, well, you know, you're being straight with me? Yeah. All right, fine. No problem. Thanks for letting me know. We'll take him in. We'll do, you know, and here we go. So to me, something like that unfolded. I have a hard time believing that they thought, you know, a criminal case was coming or a potential criminal case was coming and would have taken the guy in. Like, you know, as
much,
as much as I think the Patriots love a good deal, I don't think they'd go to that limit.
Yeah, no, yeah, they have their limits. I thought this guy would be their limit, but he's not. But a criminal rape charge, you would have to think
they would have stayed away.
You like to think, right? You like to think, but you bring this guy in, and he's back out there again practicing today. I still haven't seen him with his helmet off. I'm going to stand by the whole thing about not giving us the B-roll. Have they gotten one? Have we gotten one shot, Vinny, out there at NBC Sports Boston of him with his helmet off? I don't know. I don't know why I'm so fixated on that. Still haven't gotten a picture of his face in that uniform with that logo. It's still behind the sheet, and he's like wearing a shield, right? Or he was yesterday. Anyway, I'm sorry, Murray. You were about to say?
Yeah, the other thing, too, is as much of a sleaze as Drew Rosenhaus and many of these agents are, I also take him at his word in that if he were to lie to Belichick, how many players does he represent and will represent going forward? He would ruin that relationship. Like, I don't understand why Rosenhaus, it would be in his best interest, even if he just wants to get Brown on a team and he wanted to get him specifically on this team, that he would just, like, cover this up and not tell them. Because once it comes out, that's it. That you fractured that relationship forever. You're never deal. If you're Belichick, you would never deal with Rosenhaus ever again.
So yesterday, I was of the mind, they had no idea. Yesterday, I was of the mind. Because, again, there's a chance here that he gets suspended or held out and you still have to pay him. And so why would they enter into a contract where they'd have to pay the guy but they couldn't play the guy? It would seem like a bad deal to me. So I never thought they would make that bad of a business decision. But the more I think of it, I think it's nuanced. I think it's somewhere in the middle. The thing I brought up yesterday, you just mentioned as well, is it possible Bill knew and the Crafts didn't? Yes. To get the guy on the roster, because it ain't Bill's money. And then I also just wonder, again, about something that stands out to me is that the fact that Rosenhaus said and put on the record and was willing to say, we unfortunately were anticipating this. So if Rosenhaus was hiding it from Bill and wanted to play dumb too, he wouldn't have admitted that on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, right.
Like, oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, so Bill goes back to Rosenhaus and Bill says, why the hell didn't you tell me? And Rosenhaus would say, well, we didn't really know. What? He just admitted he knew.
Yeah, so I think the likelihood is that Rosenhaus let Bill know that something was up.
Okay, so this is my guess at this moment, but it's sort of evolving, and this is why I just want to open it up, because I'm just curious about this angle. But this is it at the moment, that Bill was aware. He was told it was frivolous. Bill believes that it's frivolous. It might be frivolous.
Right.
I mean, it very well could be. The Patriots may have already done a little bit of due diligence and realized this gal is, has no basis, and it's a frivolous civil lawsuit. And so they, meaning Bill, knew it was coming and trusted Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown that he didn't do it, and the gal had no standing. It's just bad PR. It's bad PR to say, yeah, we knew he was going to be charged with rape. We signed him anyway. Oh, that looks so bad. That looks horrible. So immediately it gets sent out to their information people. We had no idea, blindsided. They're not saying in front of the camera because it's easy to catch them in a lie. Then right. We have a sound of you lying. If they just off the record to Schefter or Rappaport say we didn't know, they didn't lie. They didn't say anything. But if you say it on camera, if you say it on the record, we had no idea. And it comes out that you did. We got the sound. Lie. And Rosenhaus is helping him out. Rosenhaus is playing the game with him. We're not going to talk about that part of it. Because in the court of public opinion, and not among, like, Patriots fans.
No, the rest of the world.
No, yeah, those of us on planet Earth. Or maybe women, you know. It looks really bad.
Horrible.
Yep. We knew he had been charged with rape. We knew there was a civil case against him for a rape charge. We signed him anyway. He could help the football team. Ooh, that looks so bad.
Yeah, and Mike, the other possibility, and again, you may have touched on this. Forgive me if it's possible that Rosenhaus told Bill, and Bill also shared it with Kraft.
It's possible.
Yeah, and that the Krafts played the game with the media or, you know, whoever they talked to and said, you know, we didn't know. We were blindsided. When they also had an inkling that there was something there because Bill relayed it to them, and they just didn't think it was coming now.
Can they possibly get away with never answering that question? They can get away with it yesterday. We've made our statements. We're waiting for more information. We're waiting for this to play out. I understand.
Yeah, they can.
They
can
get away with it for a day. They can get away with it for a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If he, how long has he gotten away with not giving us an answer on Malcolm Butler? If he can get away with that, he can get away with this.
This is different.
I understand. Yes, it's different. But in terms of him not answering, I mean, we have a track record here.
Yeah, they can get away because they just would never answer the question publicly. Or
if you're going to maintain that you didn't know, have the balls to come say it on the record.
Yeah, they won't. And again, look, you know, I like your theory too, though, about the idea of them, you know, negotiating it with Rosenhaus. Like, Drew, you do what you got to do publicly. You want to say that, you know, that you knew it was coming, fine. You know, we're going to take it this way just so you know where we're coming from and we're good. Because we can both take the heat. We've done this for a long time. Right? We're not talking about rookies here.
But
I mean, Rosenhaus himself said he's been an agent for 30 years. Bill's been coaching for, what, 45?
Rosenhaus admitting publicly he anticipated that it was coming, is a tell to me that he told Bill. That, to me, is a tell that he told Bill. Otherwise, boy, Bill would be pissed at him. Why didn't you tell me? And Rosenhaus would not be so eager to admit to the world that we saw it coming. So, I mean, just plain and simple. If Rosenhaus saw it coming, he had to let the Patriots know that it was coming. Had to.
I mean, I've settled on that he told them.
And if he
told Bill.
And if he didn't tell him, then, boy, would he go on TV the next day and say, yeah, I knew it was coming. Like, no, he would try and hide it. He would try and hide the fact that he knew it was coming because he would have to save face with the Patriots. No, we didn't know this was coming. And that's exactly what I told the Patriots. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Of course.
So to me, that's a tell. That's a tell that he told them. And the Patriots don't have the, I was going to say, they know how it looks. Ooh, that looks bad. Yep, we knew he was in a civil rape case and we wanted him anyway. That's just bad look. And they don't want to own up to it. So they're trying to weasel out of it.
I mean, that to me is a plausible, in fact, I'd go so far as to say maybe even likely, maybe, theory. Like, you know, because it makes sense on a lot of different levels. And the other thing is,
And by the way, I also think it means that they believe he didn't do it.
Correct.
Because, like, I don't think, you know, no matter what you think, I do not think they are the evil empire or anything like that. If they really believed he was guilty of rape, they would not have signed him.
No, that's what,
okay?
I'm saying.
So, right.
This is deal with bad PR, weather the storm,
yes,
and it'll,
yep,
go away.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They knew on some level it was coming. They believe he's innocent of it. That it's just bad PR and we'll, exactly, weather the storm and deal with it.
I mean, that conversation, given the relationship between Bill and Rosenhaus, right, that conversation had to take place. If Bill knew, he had to say, well, is this thing legit? What's the deal here, Drew? Well, no, it's not. I give you my word, it's not. We've been dealing with this woman a long time. It's a money grab. She's losing money in taxes. She owes the IRS 30 grand. She's got a business, blah, 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 blah. So we've been fighting her off for a long time. Antonio shut her off. Now she wants her money. You sure about this? Yes. Okay, fine. Then, you know, here's what we're going to do, and let's go forward. And they decided to do it. And it's a bad look. The civil case is, it's a bad look. It's a good point. I mean, you know, to me, I felt the same way. The more that we heard about it, I thought Bill knew. Whether the Crafts knew, I don't know. Like, that's a hard link to
yep,
make.
Yep.
Or it's a hard connection to investigate, but particularly with the way they do things. But they had some knowledge that something was going on, yes.
All right, let's pick this up on the other side with your reaction.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Austin's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The moment you learned about this, what specifically did you say to your client?
The moment I learned about the lawsuit, Antonio and I have been unfortunately anticipating this possibility. And what I want to emphasize is that Antonio takes these allegations very seriously.
So when Rosenhaus says, Antonio and I have unfortunately been anticipating this, that to me is the giveaway that he told Bill. Because if he didn't tell Bill, he'd be in deep doo-doo with Bill. And then why would he go on TV 15 minutes after Bill was just standing at the podium and tell the world, yeah, we knew it was coming?
That's a good point.
If he was trying to save face with Bill, he would not acknowledge that. He would not say that.
It is. It's a good point.
He would say this blindsided us just like this blindsided the league and the team.
Or he could have said something even generic, right? Like, look, you know, this has been an ongoing issue. There's always the threat of litigation and these sorts of things, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, you can say it in a generic sense without saying we knew or we didn't know. There's always the threat, you know, which is true. I mean, there is. So, you know, again, the more I think about it, and the other thing is, who's kidding who? Bill and Rosenhaus get off on having a good relationship with each other. Like, the most powerful agent in the game.
Well, I'm sorry, go.
Yeah, the most powerful coach in the history of the game. You know, Rosenhaus has good clients. Bill has good success. What's good for you is good for me.
All the agents hate you. All the coaches hate me. We're two renegade, you know, blah, blah, blah.
There you go. Right? There you go. Like kindred spirits.
Yeah, kind of class.
So, and I just think that they sort of get off on being able to work with one another. And so, you know, I the more I think about it, he gave Bill some indication. Now, again, did he say point blank? Like, I don't know. But did Bill have some inkling that this was going on or a pretty good idea what it was? Yes. And he took Rosenhaus's word for it that it was frivolous.
Okay. So Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports in the last, I'm not good with this. 16 hours? Ah, someone tell me when he posted this. Writes that the NFL and Patriots were not aware Antonio Brown lawsuit was on the tracks before Tuesday. He said NFL hopes to interview Brown accuser ASAP. So it was really said that, and I'm sorry, I forget her name, Taylor?
Brittany Taylor.
That they were going to sit down next week. The NFL hopes to do it now, as soon as possible. He also reports the Pats' decisions on Brown will lean on NFL security info. So they're going to defer to the league on it. Charles Robinson writes that Pats are protected by broad voiding language in Brown's contract. This is something that we mentioned yesterday. And this could also be a reason that they're playing the game that they didn't know. Bert Breer has pointed this out, that one of the ways you can void guaranteed language is non-disclosure. You're supposed to, in fact, Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown did not tell them, and it turns out this was coming down the pike. That is a way to void the contract and to get out of the guarantees. And so this would be a thing, but, you know, Rosenhaus is actually playing ball with the Patriots on that. I'll allow you to maintain this thing that you didn't know, so you're protected contractually. So I'll play ball with you on that.
Right, which from their standpoint, again, is further indication that Rosenhaus is confident it's nothing.
Right.
Right, so they look at it and say, well, if he's willing to go to that length, if you're that confident, Drew, then you should be willing to agree to that clause.
I think that whole thing about the language in the contract is, to me, irrelevant because they haven't written him a dime yet, from what I understand. I mean, the $5 million bonus payment is due a week from Monday. Now, they can pay him any time before that. Have they given him the $5 million bucks? That's what I'm curious about. If they haven't, screw your language. I don't care what the language says. We're not gonna send the transfer over. Come get it. Go file your grievance and sue us. Like, yeah. that's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
Where's the money? Have you written them the check yet?
Yeah, did they have it in them to give them the check 12 days early or whatever it is?
Doesn't feel like them.
No, I don't. I'm sure. Look, if I were them, and I don't blame them this one.
Don't feel like any team.
With a guy like him, you wait to the last minute.
Heck yeah.
You wait to the last minute.
All right, so
11:59 p.m. on the 23rd, it'll come through.
I don't know how recent that Charles Robinson report is, but there it is. If it's 16 hours for me, that's pretty quick. Usually I have to wait for the paper overnight. To the phones, as promised, Brandon in the truck. Lead us off today. Go ahead.
Hey, so my opinion on all of this, I've had my fair share of jobs. First of all, thank you for having me on. Now back to the thing. I've had my fair share of jobs, and I've never had a job where they never Corey checked me and checked my background for any little thing I've done in the past. Now, I believe everyone, all the way down to the Steelers, knew about all the cases that this guy's had on him. You know, not only with the rift that he had with Ben Roethlisberger and all that other nonsense, I think the Steelers were aware of the child endangerment stuff. They were aware of all of that, so they were glad to let him go to the Raiders. Now, again, when he went to the Raiders...
So, Brent, I'm just going to cut you off because we got a lot of calls waiting. I don't want to go too long with it. The background check doesn't satisfy... You're not going to find a pending civil law. You know, nothing was filed. So, you know, no background check's going to find that out. You've got to get your fingernails dirty. You got to go follow incarcerated Bob and, you know, check the people on the street. There was no background check's going to come up with what was coming down with that civil lawsuit.
What was the item that you said in that Yahoo story about the Patriots were going to rely on NFL security for?
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. Four bullet items. NFL and Patriots were not aware Antonio Brown lawsuit was on the tracks before Tuesday. Second, NFL hopes to interview Brown accuser ASAP. Third, Pat's decisions on Brown will lean on NFL security info.
Okay.
Fourth, Pats are protected by broad voiding language in the contract.
Okay, so given Antonio Brown's history, don't you think NFL security should have a lot of info on this
guy? My God. They got filed like that thick.
So shouldn't they already know who Brittany Taylor is?
Yes.
And I guess what I'm saying is maybe they didn't know about the actual filing of the lawsuit, but they had to know there was an issue there. They had to know that.
Ray and Revere, go ahead, please. Ray and Revere. Okay, babe, call's back. You know the number. Joe in Tampa. Hi, Joe.
If someone within the sound of my voice knows the young man, Mr. Brown, our new wide receiver, if they could please give him this message. When you score your first touchdown, run through the end zone, run up to the stands, find the small child, and place the ball gently in the child's hand. And it's time to grow up. Everybody's got a time to grow up. It's your time now.
Okay, yep. So do you think Antonio Brown realizes it's time to grow up?
No.
Has he reached bottom in any way? Don't you have to? I mean, he keeps getting what he wants. I mean, I don't know.
Right. What repercussions has this guy really felt?
Zero, and you are the chief enabler. You are the lead enabler of rewarding this guy. So he's gotten everything that he's done. He's just ended up in a better spot with more guaranteed money, more upfront money. Pitch a fit about a helmet, get a helmet deal. Pitch a fit about your contract, get a better contract. Pitch a fit about your team, get a better team. He's done nothing but be rewarded. So what makes you think he's reached bottom or it's time to grow up? Part of me thinks that he's looking at it and say, what I'm doing is working. And I'll read you a column from Sally Jenkins, who actually was applauding him yesterday. He was doing the exact right thing. So, I don't know. You think this guy's reached bottom?
No, listen, he leverages people with his talent. That's what he does. Like many great players.
Matt in the car, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, optically, Belichick standing up at the podium saying or confirming or denying that they knew, either way, it's going to look bad. One looks worse than the other. But in the end, like, you have to not answer that question because it's just going to open up a whole can of worms, right? I mean, am I wrong? Like, either answer is just bad. So don't answer it.
No.
That's all.
If you didn't know and it's the truth, what can of worms does that open?
Well, you didn't do your due diligence.
It's the due diligence.
Fair enough.
The lack of due diligence. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't vet the guy before he comes in. You know what I mean? I just think that it's a non-answer. Like, you have to not answer that question.
I think eventually...
I mean, we want answers, but, like, you can't answer it.
Well, then we hammer him for everything, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you answer it one way or the other, at least you cut off half the criticism, and we'll just focus on the other half. I don't know. So now everything's on the table. Either they didn't do their due diligence and they were negligent in that, or they knew and that's just a horrible look. I mean, if they had the power of their convictions, just come out and say, yes, we knew. It's a bogus lawsuit. We stand behind the player because he did nothing wrong.
Correct.
If you have any balls, you know, why don't you just do that then?
That's what they should do.
Because that's what your fans think.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what a lot of your fans think.
Well, and the other thing is, honestly, it's what they believe.
So then have the balls to come out and say it. Yes, we knew. We think it's a bogus lawsuit. She has no grounds. Our player did nothing wrong. So have the balls to say it.
So, because I have a hard time believing, again, and I know we both have said this, but it bears repeating. It's worth repeating. The idea that the Patriots would know that this guy was potentially a rapist and bring him in, I have a hard time believing that they would do that if they thought the charges were legit.
Correct.
So they clearly thought they were frivolous. Now, that's a hard sell to the public. Okay? Like, because they would look at it and say, you shouldn't go near him anyway, and I'm of the mindset they never should have brought the guy in. But I don't think they're that. I don't think they are so low that they said, we don't care, he can catch passes.
Well, and that's kind of Weasley. They're just going to slip out off the record that we had no idea, but they don't have the guts to come out and just say it up front that this player was wrongly accused, our guy. Sounds kind of gutless to me. But that's just the wonderful world of Antonio Brown. The little catwalks and nooks and crannies he takes you down when you bring in a guy like this. Continue with your thoughts on this all day long. Different angles I want to get to as well. I do need a quick Red Sox update from Maz, because it's been about 48 hours since I've just checked in on the GM situation and just that. So I want Maz's temperature on that real quickly after Murray's update, so don't go in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Mass, give me a second here, or a minute or two on the Red Sox GM situation. Who's going to be the next GM?
Okay, so Sean McAdam actually has a list of candidates today on Boston Sports Journal. And among the big fish, that's how he categorizes them, the first one among the biggest ones, the big fish, he has three people listed. Number one is Theo Epstein. Now, he says it's a long shot. I told you, to me, that's the first call I make. I don't know that Epstein would take it. I don't know that they would be willing to give him what it would take to get him here. But to me, that's the first call I make. Theo, we're sorry. We made a mistake. And we recognize you need job security. So we're going to give you 10 years and we're going to give you a percent or a percent and a half in ownership. I did the math this morning. A percent of ownership is worth a little more than $30 million.
I was going to say, so what's the evaluation of the team?
$3.2 billion, according to Forbes, okay, in the last thing.
It gets tricky. Does that include Nesson? Does it include the real estate holdings? Does it include...
I think it includes...
Is that Fenway Sports Group, or is that just... I mean, sure, they can figure that all out, but it's sort of a web.
I think it's the Red Sox, the ballpark, and the network. I think it's $3.2 billion. And so, again, 1% is about $30 million. 1.5% would be about 45. If I were Theo, I'd push for 1.5. So, but you get the idea.
Yep, point and a half.
So, look, here's the problem they have now. If you are going to go for a quote-unquote big fish, as McAdam termed it, how are you going to get those guys to come here when you fired the last two GMs within 2 years of winning a World Series?
That's sort of a tough pull.
What guy with any clout would come here and say, yeah, no problem, fire me in 3 years? Who would do that? Nobody. Nobody with any juice. So they're going to have to pay out the nose now. And if you're going to do that, you better get a guy you believe in, which to me is Theo. You know him. He knows you. I would go there first.
Who are the other big fish?
The other names on the list. Jeff Luhnow of the Houston Astros. They've built a wagon down there. So that's a good name to have on there. Andrew Friedman, who's with the Dodgers.
He's my number one.
Another good name to have on there. And then in the
Nerd's
next,
nerd.
Now, on the next level, McAdam lists Chris Antonetti, who's with the Indians and is very highly regarded. I'd be interested in that. I think Antonetti would be a good guy. I have a hard time believing he'd leave Cleveland, but who knows? Jed Hoyer, who's Theo's partner with the Cubs. I want nothing to do with Jed. Okay, Jed was here once with Ben Cherington, and they passed him over.
Where's Alex Anthopoulos? Is he on this list?
He is. Where
I believe
is he
he's
now?
With the Braves.
Yeah, no, I know, but he should be on that list.
Yeah, he's not on here.
Well, that's dumb.
And then Mike Hazen's on the list. He's currently with the Diamondbacks and left the Red Sox, obviously, to take that job.
No Billy Bean?
No Billy Bean. I think my guess is that they deem him ungettable because of the contract.
Theo, Friedman, Bean. Those are my big fish.
I mean, Theo and Bean would be the first two guys I'd go after.
I just want Friedman. Why would Friedman leave Los Angeles to come here?
Good question. Maybe they give him more money.
Okay, so
maybe this is where you talk about the stake in ownership, right? That
right,
would be the only draw.
Right.
So I was going to say, what do the Red Sox have that the Dodgers don't? I mean, if you want to say we're getting Friedman out of Tampa, no brainer. There's a million reasons to come here. It's a
good weather. No, they don't have that either.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, to say, well, it's a traditional Hallmark franchise. Sorry, Dodgers are
bigger.
Every bit the institution you are, if not bigger. Better weather, better city for most people. I don't know. What are you going to get? A better organization, better ownership? I mean, how are you going to get a guy like Friedman to leave L.A. to come here?
No idea.
Theo, you got a shot. He's from here. He wants to come back, apparently.
Again, you'd have to give him a share of ownership. Or maybe the Dodgers win it. Friedman says, you know what? I did what I wanted to do here, and now I'm out. Like Theo did, sort of. I don't know. I'm just throwing crap against the wall. So those are the big ones out there. And to me, if you're the Red Sox, you got to go for that kind of guy first.
Well, so Shaughnessy today on the midday said he doesn't think it's going to be any of these internal candidates like Eddie Romero.
Oh.
Or the gal that we're hearing about, or, you know.
Yeah, Raquel Ferreira.
Guys like this. He says he doesn't think that's what it's going to be. And that, I felt good about that. I felt good about that.
There's only one reason I would be okay with that.
Okay, why? How?
One is that you strike out on these. And then two, from what I understand, Romero and Cora have a good relationship.
So?
I think that's important.
I'd rather have a great GM that Cora hates.
Okay, so I just think, but I don't think Cora's going anywhere in the short term is what I'm saying.
Me neither. All I'm saying is, though, but I'll worry about that relationship second. I need the guys to have some aptitude.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you hire a bum just because he gets along with Cora.
Thank you.
I think Romero is a good evaluator based on what I hear. He's a good judge of young talent. And so the fact that he gets along with Cora, I think, is important. Like, what, secondarily, but important. Because that relationship, I believe, is the core of your baseball operation.
But you've mentioned it. Team's too important. You've got too much money invested in the team. It's just too big of an institution for you to trust it. I mean, I thought it was a chance to go to a first-year manager. You know, I was wrong about that. But on the executive level, I think you just got to be careful there. I mean, it's too important to entrust to someone who, I don't know, anything other than a marquee name. And say what you will about Dombrowski, he was a big name and an established guy in baseball. And that's sort of what that position in this organization, I think, demands.
Yeah, Mass. Absolutely they do.
Well, going back to Anthopoulos, because look at some of the pitchers he drafted when he was with Toronto. I mean, he finds Stroman. If you go back and they ended up moving him, he finds Syndergaard. So you need young pitching going forward. The job he's done in a couple of years with the Braves, and granted, even like little moves like bringing in Josh Donaldson, who's been their best player, like why not him?
Well, can I give you
sure,
just...
Sure, why not? I mean, he's a candidate. It ended badly for him in Toronto.
I know.
You know, some bad trades, the Tulowitzki trade, it blew up there, but, you know, they all make mistakes.
But right? Let me tell you, why I set Freeman apart is because...
Tampa.
Where he's drafting, and not just that. So he did it in Tampa without any payroll. Now he goes to L.A. with huge payroll, a team that wins the NL every year, and their prospect system is insane.
Yeah, it's great.
So it's not like he's drafting high or as, you know, he's spending and winning at that level and still he's done both. Where obviously Dombrowski's one, you know, Charrington was only one thing and not the other, and Dombrowski was like just the opposite, and Friedman has proven he does it all.
Yeah, they need someone that can, you know, and Friedman right now has got a great gig because you got an organization that's got a boatload of money and you've got an organization that is, you know, maybe as good as any in baseball historically in the international marketplace and drafting and developing talent.
And so I'm just saying, like, and today with the Braves, they sort of tanked for a little bit there, right? So they did, and Houston, they, all those picks, I mean, the Altuves and the Correas, weren't they all got garnered when they were tanking?
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know, that's a little different than Friedman going to the Dodgers and pulling out prospects.
No,
like
that's
that.
Fair. Yeah. And again, you can't ignore what Friedman did in Tampa either, right? I mean, you have no money to work with there and you built good teams. So those guys should be at the top. The only other thing that popped into my head here in the last day or so regarding this whole thing is this. Dombrowski wanted out. You don't go to ownership after it's been rumored that you're on the chopping block and force the issue unless you want to get your ass out of here now and bail on the team with a month to go. He wanted out. And so, look, he was going to get fired. I'm not telling you that. But this idea that there should be sympathy from Dombrowski, from some of these national guys that he clearly talked to. Okay, like, please, spare me. He knew what was going to happen. And so you know what he said? F this. We're out of it. I'm not sticking around here in the month of September. I want to go home and I'm going to start playing golf now. So F you, fire my ass now so I can go home. That's what he did. And I have no respect for him for that.
So there's your Red Sox Minute. If you want to weigh in on that, you absolutely can. Our long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all
you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
we'll say more.
That could impact the team?
Yeah, I just said that.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
We know more. We'll say more.
Do you know if the Patriots knew about these allegations ahead of time in signing him?
I'm not going to get into that element. I'm not going to get into my discussions with the Patriots or what may or may not have been discussed. I just want to reiterate, people should please keep in mind that Antonio denies these allegations. He will have a full investigation. He will go through the legal process, and we will cooperate. And there are facts out there that will come to light that will establish that he is indeed not guilty of any of these accusations. This is a civil matter, and this is a proceeding where the accuser is seeking financial gain.
Okay, the whole question of did the Patriots know about it? It's interesting. I don't know what exactly it means and if it changes the story. But I do find it interesting that they won't own up to it. And when, by that I mean is they're claiming off the record, because this is obvious now. There's been multiple reports. They're claiming off the record that they had no idea and they're blindsided. So Schefter had it immediately that the team was blindsided. Rappaport came out the next day. Team nor league had any idea. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports wrote something overnight that once again says, here's what he wrote. The New England Patriots and the NFL were caught flat-footed by the civil lawsuit that has been filed against wideout Antonio Brown this week, according to sources who spoke with Yahoo Sports on Wednesday. Neither the Patriots nor the league office were aware that a potential lawsuit against Brown was on the tracks before he agreed to a deal with the Patriots last week, according to two sources familiar with talks between the franchise and league security officials. So they're happy saying this off the record. Why won't they say it? Why won't they say it in front of the cameras?
Good question.
Why won't they say it?
Well, so, you know,
because is it a lie?
Well, right. There are two possibilities here. One is that it's a lie.
Okay. So that they did actually know and they don't want to put it on the record with their name to it. We didn't know, said Bill Belichick. And then it is revealed they did know, were caught in a lie on tape, but they'll say it off the record to media people, because then it doesn't come back to you. I never said that. I don't know who his sources were. I never said that.
Right.
So, like, you can do that, or what's the other possibility?
I forget. I had it in my head, and now my brain went blank.
A reason that they wouldn't cop to saying that they knew is because the PR is horrible. You knew he was being charged with rape, and you still sign him? And the team could easily.
Oh, so that was the other one.
Yeah. I mean, if the team just admitted they knew, yeah, we knew. And then, you know, again, the society, you knew he was charged with rape and you still signed him? Well.
Yeah, because as an organization, any organization in any walk of life, you can't make it look like, well, we don't believe her.
Well, but it's still Weasley. Because if it's a frivolous claim, if he's being wronged, if he's being wrongly accused, if he's the victim, and I know a lot of you people feel this way out there. So if he's the victim and he's the victim of a money grab and he never did anything wrong and this is all made up, then how come the team doesn't come out and say, yeah, we knew. We believe the lawsuit is frivolous. We believe our guy did nothing wrong and we stand behind him. Then why don't you just do that thing?
Well, so part of the reason is what Murray said might have some validity to it, which is, you know, oh, so you don't believe the victim, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a trashy look.
Yeah.
So they just don't want to go anywhere near it. They just don't want to go anywhere near it.
Well, then don't sign the player, would be my advice.
I mean, so look.
Because you can't help but go anywhere near it.
Yeah, I didn't want the guy here in the first place. I'm surprised they brought him in. When I heard it, I went, wow. Wow, they brought in Antonio Brown. Wow.
So these are the kind of things you have to deal with when you lie down with a guy like this. This is the kind of stuff you have to deal with. You either have to lie that you knew or hide that you knew or not say what you want to say because of how it looks. And that's just the wonderful world of Antonio Brown. Welcome to it. Did they know? Does it change it for you if they knew? Bobby in Tewksbury, go ahead.
Hey, Mike and guys, glad to talk to you. Listen, I honestly think this guy's a punk. And Belichick and Kraft are into it up to their necks. They knew everything about this guy. And they deserve everything they get back thrown at them. Because look at Mr. Massage Parlor Kraft. He thinks he's God. And Belichick, you expect it from him. Kraft sells himself as he's this big egotistical maniac and he's something special. You know what I'm waiting for? They're going to sign O.J. Simpson and put him on the roster.
All right. I believe they have limits. So if this was a criminal charge or they felt he was guilty, I don't think they would have signed him. So they
I believe that, too. I have a hard time believing that they viewed him as a rapist and said, we'll take him on anyway.
So I believe the Patriots either didn't know or knew but felt he was totally innocent.
I think it's B.
Okay, so, which is fine. He very well may be in this case. Then why don't you back your player? And I know it's a tricky thing with denying the accuser, you know, but there's got to be a way to do it. I don't know. If Antonio Brown did nothing wrong and he's being wronged here, is the team exactly, I don't know. Then just have some guts and say, we knew he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
We take these accusations seriously. We believe in victims and victims' rights. But in this specific case, we believe our guy did nothing wrong. I mean, why can't you do that?
Well, you know, look, you could. From my standpoint, you could. I don't think they make decisions based on what necessarily how we would receive it. I think it's the average Joe. Does the average person even understand the difference between a civil and criminal case?
I don't think enough do.
No, they don't. So they just hear, you know, the rape allegation, and they think, like, the guy's going to jail for rape, and there's no criminal charge here. So, like, maybe the Patriots just look at it and say, we're not going to win that one. We're going to shut our mouths. But again, to me, in and of itself, it's not about this singular charge. It's not about, you know, this woman's allegation in the civil case. It's not about any of that. This guy's a pain in the ass. This guy is a colossal pain in the ass on the field and off. I mean, let's throw this one out. So you want a guy who throws furniture off his balcony and almost hits a 22-month-old? You want a guy who bitches about the fact that he doesn't get the ball, rats out a teammate when he fumbles at the end of a game, and then gets elected team MVP and won't show up for week 17?
A guy who, if you're a coach or an executive, a guy who just days ago threatened to beat up his boss and then called him basically a racist cracker bitch in front of the whole team and tried to beat him up.
Oh, and not to mention the emails he sent to this woman messages.
We'll get to that.
Like the way he lambastes her and the names he calls her, it's vicious. It's vile. So you look at it and say, is this guy treats people like that and he acts like that? This is the guy you want in your organization?
Apparently it is. Which, again, stuns me. It does. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, another thing that I think is worth considering in this whole thing is that at the beginning of the season, we all said that they needed receiver help. You have the Edelman injury. You have the dependability of Gordon, the unknown of N'Keal Harry, and now his injury, losing Gronk, all of that. If they thought that they were going to lose Brown, I don't think they would have traded Demaryius Thomas. It leads me to believe that they probably knew about it. They were probably given information that led them to believe they weren't going to lose Brown. Because if you trade one of your better receivers and then lose another one days later, then where are you?
Yeah, right. So it was the Demaryius Thomas trade a tell that they didn't know? Or they knew, but they felt nothing would come of it?
I think the Demaryius Thomas trade indicates that they didn't know it was coming down now. They didn't know the timing was imminent.
Right.
Like, to me, that again, there's a distinction there. So did they know something was going on with Brown? I now believe yes. After hearing all that stuff yesterday, I now believe yes. That Rosenhaus gave Bill or the organization some indication that, look, we get this civil thing that could come down the road. Okay, great. They were not expecting the next day. And so they thought, okay, well, whenever that comes, we'll deal with it. In the interim, we got to move Demaryius Thomas. And they moved him, and they probably now wish they hadn't.
Okay, the very latest on the Antonio Brown and other issues in the world of sports right now in the update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we come back. We will get to those text messages from Antonio Brown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.